Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh, Rob, are we ready for another
sucking
up the
sun?
What's up, so fun?
Got a lot of NBA NFL for y'all tonight, people.
Let's get started. Here we go. Oh, yeah, we're back. Welcome in sports. Kicking it off. Here we go.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't
what?
See me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Oh, yeah, it is Talking Sports with 12th Man. Once again, you are listening to the sounds a little. Little John Cena, the time is now, Rob, and today, the time is now, sir. It is, of course, our normal night, Tuesday, June the 4th, and man, time is flying, but we are here on another fantastic night of Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, and as always, I got to check in with my co-host. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing fantastic, my brother. Up here in Albany, New York tonight, doing a show from Albany tonight. How's everything going in your world?
Everything's going great, man. I mean, you know, we're definitely world travelers. I'm just flying in from Houston, Texas. Got to give a shout to H-Town. It's a lot of love out there. And flew
yes,
back
so we,
to grab the show. Yep, go ahead.
We're traveling all over the country for you all, trying to spread the word, Blog Talk Radio, 12 Man Sports. We are spreading the word. I'm up here in Big East country, Andre down there in Houston, Texas land. So we're showing a lot of our sports fans some love around the country.
That is what we do for sure. All right. Well, like I said, man, and this is going to be interesting, too, because next week I'm going to be in Germany. So we'll see if we can pull
German
this off. I don't know if we're going to pull this off, but we'll see if we can pull this off if I'll be in Germany doing the show. But it's going to be fun. But anyway, for once again, let's kind of talk about this. And for those that that want to call into the show, we're gonna give you guys a couple of numbers to reach out to us. Even though we didn't get a chance to post our normal what's going on, the number to call to the show, it's actually 424-243-9519. In addition to following us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/12thmansports, and that's Talking Sports from 12th Man. You can find us, and we're also on Twitter. At 12th Man Sports as well. So that's all the ways to get in touch with us if you want to listen in and tell us your thoughts. But we have a lot of good topics, as Rob mentioned. We're going to save the big announcements, unfortunately, with one of the best pass rushers in Deacon Jones. We're going to get to that a little later, Rob. But let's kind of talk about some NBA stuff. Obviously, that's kind of what's making news right now. And we will talk about the Eastern Conference Finals and previewing the finals here. But let's talk real quick, a little off-topic as opposed to what's going on in the free agency world. And let's talk about Mr. Dwight Howard. I know this is one of your favorite players, Rob, in that he's always
Dwight
trying
Howard,
to figure out where
man?
He's going to go. So he's always trying to figure out where he's trying to go. But this is an interesting statement that Kobe wants to get the last word as opposed to where he's going to play. Now, what do you think Kobe means in the statement, or what do you think he's trying to say about this, Rob?
Well, basically, and I know a lot of you out there may wonder why we're starting to show off with this topic. Unfortunately, you know, Andre and I are both Laker haters, but we know there are a lot of Laker fans out there in the sports land. So, and but technically, you know, he and I are both Laker haters. We probably will be for the rest of our lives, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, getting to this topic here about the Dwight Mayer. Or Dwight Howard, however you guys want to call him. And what Kobe basically wants to do, he wants to have the last pitch. Dwight Howard is going to test the free agent market. There's no doubt about that. And there's some interesting suitors out there, namely the Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks, to name three teams. There's a few others that also would like to get into the game. But those are three are probably the biggest suitors. For the Dwight Mayer. But Kobe would like to have the last say after Dwight Howard does his meetings with those particular teams. And Kobe would like to see if he can convince him to stay in Los Angeles. And Kobe would like to see if he's interested in staying in Los Angeles. And so that's basically what Kobe Bryant is saying. You know, he would like Dwight Howard to give him the last sales pitch to see if they can convince him to stay in Los Angeles. And in my personal opinion, I think Dwight Howard, Dwight Howard, Dwight Mayer, whatever you want to call him, he's going to be with the Houston Rockets next season. That's just my gut. I believe he's leaving, and I think, you know, I don't think he was happy. He believed he could possibly make more money in Los Angeles, endorsements as well as contract-wise. I just see him wanting to be a guy that's happy, and I don't think he wants to play under Kobe Bryant. And I just see him forming a nice duo with James Harden, and I can see him going to the Houston Rockets. That's my prediction as of June 4th, 2013. I think that Dwight Mayer will be joining the Houston Rockets in Houston. And I hate it because my New Orleans Pelicans are going to have to deal with him and James Harden for many years to come. So I'm not personally happy about it, but I still think that's where he's going to wind up playing.
Very interesting, Rob. And like you said, I kind of agree with you, everything you said regarding the statements in that Kobe's going to get the last pitch. I think it's going to be for naught. Here in Atlanta, the papers are actually reporting that Dwight Howard, Coward, as you say, so he's going to depend on God for his decision. So now, like you said, you know, we're obviously Christian and we believe in, you know, whatever. But it's kind of an interesting statement where that's kind of another Coward move, I think. And I'm not talking about him, his religion, what he's going to go with and stuff like that, but I just think it's kind of like he's kind of putting it to say, well, that way he can't get mad at, you know, God for making, for helping him guide his decision. But, you know, end of the day, I agree with you. I think he's going to end up with the Rockets. I definitely think it was it was definitely not a good fit in L.A. Chemistry. I know whenever that actually happened, a lot of our L.A. fans were excited. They were pretty much screaming championship, Rob. Once they got Steve Nash, once they got Dwight Howard. Yeah, and then obviously it definitely fell short. So, you know, definitely something could be said for chemistry. And for whatever reason, you know, chemistry, I think firing their coach, things just didn't unravel well for the Lakers this year. And they're actually an old team, Robert, too. So if you look at that, they're going to definitely have to look at getting younger. Kobe is definitely getting older, so. You know, obviously, they're going to have to do like a major, major shakeup on that team to continue to advance if they want to make any moves as far as being in the NBA Finals next year, too. So I don't know if you want to finish up any thoughts about that statement or where to go, but that's just kind of how I feel with everything.
Well, one more intriguing thought about him if he winds up with Houston is that Houston had the youngest team in the NBA this past season, and he made the playoffs as the 8th seed in the Western Conference. And they went 6 games with OKC. And so that is definitely a team that's on the rise. And if you add a piece like Dwight Howard, even though I think this past season is very inconsistent, not sure if he's 100% healthy, but still, having a 75% Dwight Howard is going to improve that ball club probably into the top 4 or 5 team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and this is the thing, too. And, Rob, I got to tell you something that's pretty honest. Anytime that people chase championships, I never think they get them. You know what I'm talking about with that? I think that,
well,
you know, he's chasing it a little bit. I mean, I know I agree with you trying to, like, you know, team up like, you know, like what LeBron did, you know, going to Miami and vice versa. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's – do you think he's a good fit for Houston if that's where he ends up going or what?
Well, this is what I don't like. I don't like when players are whining their way out of places. And I think that's the difference. When you look at LeBron's situation with Cleveland, he never whined his way out of Cleveland. He gave that organization 7 strong years of basketball, and he gave that organization every opportunity to build a contender or build a team around him. He never asked to be traded, and he waited until he was a free agent to make a decision. And I don't like the way Dwight Howard whined his way out of Orlando. And got traded. I don't like the way Carmelo Anthony whined his way out of Denver. I don't like the way Chris Paul whined his way out of New Orleans. That's when it gets to the point of where I don't like the way some of these players, you know, and that to me is more so when you're kind of whining your way out and maybe chasing something. Those are the kind of things I don't like. I don't like Steve Francis whining about not wanting to be drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies. I don't like Eli Manning whining about not wanting to be drafted by the San Diego Chargers. Those are the kind of things that, you know, that kind of bugs me. Well, Eli Manning still won 2 championships, so I guess he with the Giants, out of those guys' names I just mentioned. And so those are the kind of things that just kind of debugs me when you see players that do those kind of things. But I don't necessarily have a problem with a guy as a free agent and has an opportunity to sign with a better organization if he did all he could with a particular organization to try to win a title. And sometimes it's not as easy. I mean, Magic Johnson went to a team that already had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on it. And, you know, so sometimes players are just put in situations where they can win championships. For others, it's not as easy.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting. And I'm going to wind my way out of this segment, too, pretty quickly, too. But that's what it's all about. all the Lakers fans are whining about the season, too. But we'll keep it going, as always. And for those that want to listen to us, I know that we have been talking about a lot of NBA. We're going to keep it going, obviously, and let's kind of recap what's been going on with the finals. Obviously, you know, the Miami Heat pulled off a great win versus a very, 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 very determined Indiana Pacers team. And I think the Pacers gave them all that they wanted. And I'm going to ask a couple questions. If you think that there's chinks in the armor of the Heat, and then also, you know, obviously, I'm sure everyone didn't expect it to go seven games, for this particular finals. And you think they're going to be tired going to a well-rested San Antonio Spurs team that's going to set up a great, great final, sir. So what are your thoughts about the final game? I mean, obviously, LeBron did his thing, and he had some help this time for the last game seven. But what do you think about the way that they actually knocked out the Pacers?
Well, you know, you, all season long, I may mention this on our show quite a few times. I said there's one team that's going to get possibly upset the Miami Heat is going to be the Indiana Pacers. And the reason why I felt that way is just that the weakness of the Miami Heat is their lack of interior strength. Chris Bosh is a wuss in the paint. And, you know, hey, this is sports talk. We can have a little fun. So, Chris Bosh is a wuss in the paint, want to stay on the perimeter. He can't handle those physical guys down there in the post. And Roy Hibbert just ate his lunch all series long. And that's just call it the way. And that's the way I felt like all season. They would be the team, even more so than any team in the Western Conference. I felt like Indiana was the one team that if any team were going to upset the Miami Heat, you know, upset that all season, it would be the Indiana Pacers. And they gave the Miami Heat all that they could handle. Last night, I think the difference in the game is that the Heat was more aggressive on both ends of the floor. They were attacking the basket, and we finally saw them not being afraid of Roy Hibbert. But now I'm not talking about Chrisy Bosh, I'm mostly talking about Dwayne Wade or LeBron James. Both of those guys attacked the basket, and they weren't scared to attack the basket at Roy Hibbert. And more so Dwayne Wade. I mean, LeBron has been pretty much doing it the entire series, but then you saw Dwayne Wade more attacking the basket, and they were able to get Hibbert in a little bit of foul trouble. And they were a lot more aggressive on the defensive end. They were in the passing lanes. You saw LeBron. This is something that probably Miami should have did all series long. They should have had him guarding Paul George all series long. I mean, he completely shut down Paul George last night. In most of the series, Dwayne Wade had been on Paul George. So they waited for game seven to make those kind of adjustments, I guess, when they really needed to. And that was the difference in the game. They were more aggressive attacking the paint. They put the best defender on Paul George. And everywhere else, they had strong double teams on Roy Hibbert every time they got the ball in the post. And you just saw a more aggressive Miami Heat team last night. But definitely Indiana Pacers were a game organization this series.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Like you said, you definitely hit the nail on the head a couple things, too, as far as, you know, Pacers are very aggressive. They changed up the strategy. And I'll give you credit for calling out that the Heat did have a weakness, you know, with the Heat, because you had a team that had a very strong inside presence. You know, Chris Bosh, you know, he's a finesse player. There's no doubt about that. He's not going to mix it up. Their biggest finesse guy, or the biggest physical guy, Udonis Haslem, he didn't really play a role because Hibbert's kind of I'm going to out-muscle him. So, you know, it's
Hibbert's
just interesting.
Haslem's on his big
eight. Yeah, so he can't really match. That's not really a good matchup because Hibbert's going to shoot right over him. So, You know, and that's going to be interesting, too, to see what happens with Tim Duncan, because that could be the exact same situation, too. So, but we'll talk about that in a quick second, too. But, you know, initially, if you're looking at the way that the game played out, you know, you got to give some credit to the Heat. They made some adjustments, as we talked about. And obviously, it looked like they weren't scared of Hibbert, as you talked about, and they were able to kind of shut down a team that gave them a lot of trouble. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to keep it moving. And like you said, LeBron, he did his thing, and they were able to pull it out, kind of just starting out and got focused, and the very first one just kind of ran by the gym. But I'm going to give a lot of props to my Indiana team because that's what it's all about. I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of y'all. Way to play hard, and you guys almost shocked the world. So, you know,
absolutely.
Conspiracy theorists alone, I'm not going to say that Stern wanted the Heat in there, but we'll see how it progresses as always. I'm just joking, Rob. Okay, going to keep it going.
Did you watch the game last night?
I'm just saying, man, I watched the game. I'm just saying, you know, it was, they ran them out of the shit. They were more prepared.
Absolutely. They had nothing to do with no conspiracy theory.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm just causing some trouble, man. We're having a little fun, obviously. We're going
to
keep it going.
Move on to the NBA Finals real quick. One question that I didn't answer, you mentioned would the Miami Heat be too tired to play in this next round? And I guess the Spurs, and kind of getting to our NBA Finals prediction here real quick as well. It's going to be really interesting to see if the Heat are going to be too tired or if the Spurs are going to be too rusty.
Yeah.
And it's the Spurs have had 10 days off. My guess is Miami having 2 days off, Tuesday and Wednesday, before the finals should be enough to kind of get them. I think the only concern is, has Miami had enough time to prepare for the Spurs? And I think, you know, if you're Greg Popovich, he's had enough time to prepare for the Heat or the Pacers at this point. And so, but then again, you have to wonder, you know, how much rust are they going to have as a ball club coming in that game. So it's going to be really interesting. This is a series that I'm really wrestling with on the prediction here, because I can see this series going to really eat away. Popovich, you know, is probably one of the best coaches in the business. And I don't think Eric Spoelstra gets enough credit for being a really good coach. I really think if you really pay attention strategic-wise, I think he's really become a really good coach as well. And but I can't put him in Pop's lead just yet.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really interesting this year. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Miami's going to win this series in 6 or 7 games. I don't think the Spurs is. I think head-to-head, I think the Spurs are a better team than the Pacers. But, you know, sometimes I think certain teams just match up with other teams better, and I think the Pacers just match up with the Heat better. I think they're just more of a physical team. I think the Spurs are more finesse, so I think they're going to play along the lines of with the Heat. And so I don't see them as being a huge physical presence as the Pacers have. And so that's why I'm going to go with the Heat in the series in 6 or 7 games.
I like where your head's at. There's a lot of good points that you have actually made. One of the things that that we talk about in that, you know, you're giving Spoelstra a lot of credit, which is, you know, he definitely deserves that too, because I think he's been done a phenomenal job of coaching. Now, one thing you got to say, you know, talented players make you a pretty good coach, Rob. I'll say that 100%. You know, I can coach LeBron. Like, all right, you know, do your thing, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you this one down.
But this Miami Heat team is not as dominant as a lot of people think they are. I mean, this Miami Heat team, Dwayne Wade is not the same player. He's only averaging 14 points in the playoffs. Chrisy Bosh has been weak. And this Miami Heat team is just, this personnel that LeBron James is playing with is just slightly better than what he had in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think a lot of people realize that at this stage, Dwayne Wade is not the all-star he once was. I mean, last night he came with an 8 game, but he doesn't bring that every night. I mean, so like you look at what he's doing in the playoffs, he's only averaging 14 points a game, shooting a horrible percentage. You know, you look at Chrisy Bosh, he had 1-for-9 in game 6. I mean, this team is, personnel-wise, only slightly better the big three is not living up to the big three. This is really just having the best player in the world on your team, and he's kind of carrying him, and other guys are just stepping up on different nights. So I think, in that regard, you got to give Spoelstra some credit.
Now, I got to give credit to the Indiana defense, too, Rob, for what they were able to do.
Oh,
just,
absolutely.
So I'm just saying, that's what I got to say, you know. But go ahead, I'll let you finish your
thought. I agree with you there, but Dwayne Wade was only averaging 14-some points against the Bucks and the Bulls, too.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Okay. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, obviously, like you said, there's been some situations where, you know.
But Indiana deserves a lot of credit, I think, for really shutting down Chris Bosh. I will definitely say that.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's, you know, that's what it's all about. Like you said, just getting back to the finals, too, because like I said, it's going to be interesting because, you know, basically if you look at the matchup, like you said, you know, the Heat really don't have anyone that can match up against Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's getting a lot older, but we'll see how that plays out. You know, obviously Tony Parker, you know, who's going to guard Tony Parker? You're going to think Dwayne Wade's probably going to guard him, okay? You got that figured out. Okay, Mando's coming off the bench, you know, whether that's, you know, I don't know who's going to guard him. You know, obviously you could put LeBron on Tony. I mean, there's so many different ways you can play that. You know, and those are the, you know, those are your, pretty much your main players. You got Kawhi Leonard. You got a couple different, you know, pieces. But Popovich will figure out a way. He's such a great coach. He'll figure out a way to neutralize certain players. So, as you mentioned, I definitely think they're not going to be rusty. I think Greg Popovich knows how to get them prepared. I think it may be a situation where, you know, we'll see how the game is going to play out. The finesse thing definitely has something to play with, though, the Spurs. So we'll see. That first game is going to kind of prove a lot, Rob, as far as what type of style, and then you make adjustments from there and see how a game plays out. But I think it's going to go 7. I can actually see the Spurs winning it out because, like you said, I mean, it really depends on which Heat team you're going to get. So no matter what, I think it's going to be a fantastic final. I think it's going to go the full 7 games. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, but it's going to be very entertaining, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll keep it going. Real quick, we're going to throw out a couple numbers. As we get to some more topics here, we're going to throw out the numbers. We've just been going on a little roll. 424-243-9519 are the numbers to call in the show. Folks that are listening, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. Also, via Twitter, at 12th Man Sports is our Twitter. And you can follow us on Facebook, Talking Sports with 12th Man, or Facebook.com/12thmansports. So with that being said, Rob, hopefully we can switch gears. We've got about 7 minutes left in the live portion of the show. And I wanted to talk about a very – I don't know if you want to talk about Bill Callahan or you want to talk about Deacon Jones too. So that's a couple things we can talk about real quick. But I may want to switch gears, and let's talk about Deacon Jones and that we got a Hall of Famer that actually passed. This guy was kind of like – probably one of the best defensive ends to ever play the game. And a lot of things that he has done has made that position a glamour position, Rob. Even though he had this head slap, which was it's been banned, he had that first move that just used to strike fear in the hearts of some offensive linemen. This dude was just part of the fearsome foursome, just a great, great defensive end. I mean, he was credited with the word sack, sacking the quarterback. I mean, this is an iconic figure that actually passed away, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, our prayers go out to Deacon Jones and his family, and our condolences go out to his family from 12 Man Sports. Definitely a true legend and a pioneer in the NFL. Very charismatic guy, with great sense of humor. And as you mentioned, the word sack, he came up with the term sack in the quarterback. And back when he played, they didn't even take the key stats of sacks. And so there's no telling how many career sacks he actually has because he didn't keep track of it. But he's the one that's credited for the term sack, and then the NFL eventually started keeping stats of sacks. And as a result of the great Deacon Jones, like I said, definitely a true pioneer in the game, was great. He also said that the NFL should put skirts on the quarterbacks for the way they've been treated now. And so he had a great sense of humor and very charismatic guy, also great football player, great human being, and definitely our condolences go out to his family.
We really don't have enough time to really talk about a lot of his accomplishments and a lot of things that he's able to produce. I mean, you talk about, just like you said, you know, a little short 2-minute, 3-minute segment is not going to definitely hold impact to what he has done to the game, as you mentioned. But, you know, like you said, very charismatic, just a guy that, you know, football was played in a different time. And like you said, I think a lot of things that, you know, a lot of the old school players that we wish we would have certain things moving forward now, it's kind of sad. But, you know, he would probably, like you said, there wasn't any sacks that were, we weren't keeping track of that statistic back whenever he played. So I'm sure he would have probably been the easily the all-time sack leader, not only for his era, but probably in the whole league right now.
Absolutely.
I was letting Rob say his piece. We are moving right along. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show. Let's kind of continue here. And I wanted to get your thoughts too, Rob. I know we're going to talk about Bill Callahan calling the shots and Reggie Bush, but did you hear the news about Jamarcus Russell getting a workout with the Chicago Bears? Wow.
Yes, I did see that. I don't know. We've talked about Jamarcus Russell on a couple of our recent shows about he has to be better than a lot of some of the NFL backs and quarterbacks. And I'm kind of rooting for the kid. You know, some people may say it's because of the LSU guy, but maybe so. But you just like to see somebody that just kind of gets a wake-up call and says, hey, you know, I can do this. I just got to have a strong work ethic. I got to get in shape. And so I'm just hoping that he kind of stick to it because you just hate to see guys waste all that talent. And you know, he wasn't just a guy that had a strong arm. He was a very accurate thrower with the football, at least on the college level. I just don't know what happened when he got to the NFL, how it just ballooned, you know, and just kind of lost it. I don't know if he just lost the drive. And so you're just hoping that – I just know that if he puts his mind to it, he's better than 75% of the backup quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just my opinion. I may be a little biased, but that's just what I think.
Rob, you know, it's pretty interesting because, you know, we always talk about, you know, talent versus desire and whatnot too. But, you know, if he had the intangibles of Tim Tebow, he would be just as good. But, you know, he doesn't have those just yet. Man. So, you know, we'll have to keep that as is, man. So
there we go. There's a mention of Tim Tebow. Sometimes he makes our show every week. I'll be trying for not talk about him. Some kind of way he makes us feel
You know, America, I'm always joking with you guys. That's always me trying to fit him in somehow. So if I can try to fit him in, I'm going to do that. I just do that just to get to Rob, man. But we're having fun here. But we'll talk about some other stuff, too. We got about 2 minutes and about, you know, 13 seconds on counting down. So I don't know if you want to set the stage for the OT portion of 12-man sports. We're definitely going to kick off. We're going to continue to talk about some free agency moves. We're going to give our NFL predictions and talk about some stuff with the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? All right, Rob, it's on you, sir.
Yeah, our NFL fans out there, you guys want to definitely tune into our OT portion. Can't listen to it live, but you can tune into it tomorrow if you get a break. Looking for something to do, need 15 minutes to buy some time. Click on the same link, and you can listen to our OT portion. We Dallas Cowboys fans, you may want to tune into this. Detroit Lions fans, you may want to tune into. Well, football fans in general, you may want to tune into our OT portion. We're even going to reveal how early NFL division prediction winners. And so you definitely want to tune into this. We're going to give us an early preview into this upcoming football season. So you definitely want to tune in and tweet us. Let us know if you agree with us or disagree with us. Send us messages on Facebook and let us know if you disagree or agree with us. And as of now, people, we are scheduled for next Tuesday night at 11 Eastern, 10 Central. Stay tuned if we have to make some adjustments with Mr. Peterson being in Germany on next week. So we will, you know, we'll keep you posted. There will be any changes to our show on next week.
Yes, sir. As always, I appreciate you taking the time to do a great job of setting the stage for next week and also setting the what we do. So we definitely enjoy you guys tuning in the show. We are here every Tuesday. Like I said, we didn't get a chance to do our normal posting, so we appreciate that as well. But like I said, stay tuned for next week. We always enjoy doing it. I know we are traveling far and wide, but we are still going to be here delivering our opinions and all that fun stuff too. So definitely love to hear what you have to say. And that's it. We'll get ready for the OT portion of the show. So thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Good night, people.
And once again, we are wrapping up the live portion of Talking Sports into the OT portion. And for our football fans, I know we definitely preface it for our Cowboy Cowgirls fans, but this is an interesting statement in that it looks like Bill Callahan will be calling the plays for the Cowboys and not Jason Garrett. So there's a lot of different things that we could take from this, and I can take from this in that in addition to Jerry Jones losing his mind, it's kind of like almost like dead men walking with Jason Garrett, Rob. I think this is kind of like the means to the end. Maybe this is the last, I don't know, I got to check out what his contract is, but I don't know if Jason Garrett is going to keep lasting too much longer, sir.
Well, I think I kind of agree with what you just said as well, but I also think this is Jason Garrett had a lot to do with this decision as well. And I think where he's kind of leaning toward is here is he wants to be more of a head coach and be more looking into all phases of the team and not concentrating on the offense. And so Garrett's still going to be very involved in the offensive game plan. He's just going to, on game day, he just wants to be more involved with the entire team. And that Callahan is a very experienced offensive coordinator. He's also been a head coach. He's an experienced play caller. So I don't think he's had that kind of assistant on his staff in the past that he can entrust the play calling to, and he can be more involved as a head coach overall. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But I also would agree with you and say Garrett is probably a little bit on the hot seat that this team has to win this year or Jerry Jones is going to look for someone else.
Actually, I like how you said that, Rob. I can agree with that statement in that maybe Jason Garrett has definitely decided to kind of relieve himself of the duties, just be more of a delegator, and that's okay. I don't know if that's going to save his job, and not to say that he's. And when I say that because you know Jerry Jones has his hands in a lot of different things. So we'll see how it plays out for sure. But yeah, I can see that. I like where he ends up saying that statement, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, I actually think the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East this year. And, and so I know that's a little bit surprising. I'm a Cowboy hater. But I actually think they are the team to beat in the NFC. It's going to be really close. And, you know, I think it's going to be really close. But, no, I take that back. I'm sorry. I got the Cowboys in second place. I had the Giants winning the East. But I think the Cowboys are going to be right there neck and neck with the Giants most of the season.
We like it. All right, so let's take some moves here. Let's talk about another team. Let's talk about Reggie Bush signs fresh on with the Lions, and he basically says that the Lions should be a top NFL offense. Now, I know Reggie Bush is known for popping off. He's no longer Miss Kardashian anymore, so I guess we can't make fun of him in that regard. But I know he said, like, a lot of crazy things, but actually I kind of believe there's some truth in the statement, Rob. You know, obviously, if he can stay healthy, you got to like what they've been doing. I mean, all that the Lions have been missing is a little bit more balance, that offense and balance being a running game. So having the threat of a good running back. Now, I'm not saying that Reggie Bush is Adrian Peterson or anything like that, but I definitely think he's going to definitely help elevate the offense. I'm not going to say they're like top two, but I can easily see them as a top 10, you know, definitely a top 8 offense. For sure. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what my beliefs are here. I think Matthew Stafford has got to get back to the quarterbacking level that he had 2 years ago. I think
Definitely.
He had an extremely down year this past year, only 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. He still threw for a lot of yards, but he just was not as efficient. I think in order for this offense to be an elite offense, he's going to have to get back to the level he was a couple of years ago. And I'm not sure. You know, I think offensively this team could be really good. I think the concern is more so on the defensive side of the ball. And right now I have this team in last place in NFC North. I know the Reggie Bush thinks this team will go to the Super Bowl. And I do think Reggie Bush is going to improve their offense. He's going to add an element to their passing game. Their passing game, if Matthew Stafford can get back to the efficiency level that he had 2 years ago, their passing game is going to be tough to stop. And you got to hope that the other running backs, along with Reggie Bush, Mikhail LeShore, big teams are able to take up slack in the running game. And right now, I mean, this is a very tough division. The Packers are still there, being an elite team. We now got a running back to possibly help them in the running game. Packers improve the offensive line a little bit. The Bears are going to be better. You have to like what they did also in free agency and in the draft, getting more offensive-minded coaches as well. And then you got to look at the Vikings, man, an elite team in the playoffs last year. Well, not an elite team, but they made the playoffs. Very strong defense. And of course, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was interesting to see how the season played out, Rob. The Lions definitely did not live up to, especially, like you said, Matthew Stafford definitely did not live up to his expectations. You know, they were 4-12, so just a rough season for them. But like you said, it is a tough division, you know, and you know, a couple injuries, and you know, you never know what's going to happen. But as mentioned, you got to think that the Packers and the Vikings and the Bears are definitely going to be tops in that division. And the Lions, I think they may have a pretty good offense, but like I said, I think it's going to be tough. Like you said, it does really depend on Matthew Stafford. If he has a good season, they'll do well, you know, because they don't have a strong enough identity, Rob, on defense to kind of be that shutdown defense as well. So it does kind of depend on Matthew Stafford. So he's got to do some things for sure. I don't know. Let's talk about some predictions real quick, Rob. We are definitely we got about I think we got about looks like 8 minutes or so left if we're continuing our OT portion. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the NFC or the AFC? We'll kind of kick it off and kind of figure out what we have going on with this.
Last thought of the AFC. If we don't get to finish them all tonight, we'll get the remainders next week. We can start with the AFC East, and I'll go ahead with my quick predictions here. I'm going to still go with the New England Patriots. It just seems like this is just almost automatic. They seem to win this division practically every year. And I think as long as they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick combination, they're going to be hard to bet against. And I think their defense is going to be better, too. So I'm going to go with the Patriots there. My number two pick is actually going to be the Miami Dolphins. I think this team is going to be a lot better this year, too. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to make a big jump from year one to year two. You add wide receiver Mike Wallace from the Steelers. Defensively, is also going to be a very strong team as well. And my third pick, I believe it or not, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. And I think you're going to see them improve, but definitely not a playoff team just yet. And they have to decide who's going to be the quarterback, E.J. Manuel, Kevin Cobb. And I have the Jets bringing up the rear. And here's another situation as well, a lot of confusion. Who's going to be their quarterback? There's a lot of question marks as well. And that's kind of how I see the AFC East going.
I like the picks, man. We're pretty much identical. The Patriots, they're going to do their thing. Dolphins, definitely. Yeah, the Bills, I agree with you. I think that it's definitely going to be maybe kind of a tight situation just like last year. And the Jets, you know, like you said, you know, Tebow's gone. I don't know why. Anyway, I can fit Tebow in there, I'm going to do it. You know, Geno Smith, he's going to be coming in there. I think the Jets could surprise some people. Depends on how Geno plays, but I definitely think that they're going to be at the bottom of the division for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Moving on to the AFC North.
Yeah, let me start this off. Yeah, go ahead. I was going to start it off for the AFC North.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Making their little comeback here. I'm actually going to go with the Bengals, number two. I'm going to go with the Ravens, number three, only because of I know the Ravens, they made some changes too, but I don't know if it's good enough to all the losses that they have on defense and whatnot. And then with the Cleveland Browns bringing up the rear once again. So that's just a quick synopsis. I know I'm sure to hear Robert's predictions about this. That's who I have for the AFC North.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals winning this division. And
okay.
I think if Andy Dalton could step up his game just a tad bit more, offensively, this team could be extremely dangerous as well. They went out and got Giovanni Bernard running back. They'll go with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Then they went out and also got Tyler Eifert in the first round. So now you can go to two tight end offense, similar to what the Patriots have, with Tyler Eifert, Jermaine Gresham. You still got A.J. Green on the perimeter. This has the making of a very good offense as well. But I think they just need to get Andy Dalton's game up just a little bit more, and this offense can be really explosive for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I like what this team did last year defensively as well. And so this is a ball club that I think will win the division this year. I think personnel-wise, they have the best personnel in the division. Second, I want to go with the Ravens. I don't think they're going to drop off as much as people think. If you look at the last few years, the Ravens have always let players go. And Ozzie Newsome always seems to have a great game plan as far as putting guys in place or having younger players that are ready to step up. So I'm going to see the Ravens number two. I think the Steelers are still missing some pieces as far as getting back. Losing Mike Wallace, I think, is going to really hurt them as far as having a deep pass catcher in the passing game as well. So that could, I think, really hurt the offense. And there's a big question mark of Jarvis Jones' health, can't even play James Harrison. And they also lost Keenan Lewis. They're probably the best cornerback in free agency. Moved on to the Saints. And so I think I have a Steelers third as a result of those things. The Cleveland Browns could be very intriguing. But I think they added some nice pieces. But I don't think Brandon Wheaton is answering quarterback. So that's why I'm going to keep them in last place. And moving on to the AFC South. Should I go first on this one?
I was going to say, man, I'm surprised you didn't have the Cleveland Browns winning the division. But, yeah, go ahead and go first with the AFC South.
No. Not quite. I'm going to stay with the Houston Texans as a first-place team in the division. I still think they're overall adding Ed Reed. You're going to add some nastiness to the team and more aggression. I think I like them as far as the number one team. I like the Colts are still at number two with Andrew Luck. The Titans, three. I think the Jaguars still have a long way to go. They'll be number four.
Yeah, the Texans are very similar to Matthew Stafford and the Lions because it really depends on Matt Schaub. They definitely kind of fell off at the end of the season, Rob. You know, you talk about a team that was so dominant earlier. They were probably the top top two teams in the power rankings, and it just seemed like they definitely fell off. But I am right on board. Everything, you know, the Texans, Colts, Titans, and Jaguars, I think that's a good way to kind of wrap it up as far as that division. And finally, it looks like last time to get to the AFC West, and we'll save the NFC for next week. But let's kick it off with the AFC West.
Go ahead. You can kick that one off.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with the Denver Broncos for sure. You know, Peyton Manning's doing his thing. You know, you got to like them to win the division. This is kind of a tough one between two and three, Rob. I know it's kind of like I don't know what's going to happen with the Chargers. You know, I think they had a problem with their coaching. It could go a coin flip, and you don't really trust the Raiders. So only because of that, I'm going to go with the Chargers second, the Raiders third, and unfortunately the Chiefs. In spite of, I think they're going to be a lot much improved with Andy Reid, but I just don't think they're going to have enough, you know, to go off. It could be a switch, you know, the Raiders, but I'm going to keep it as is. So that's where I'm going with this particular division.
Well, we definitely agree Denver Broncos will be, I think, a cakewalk at winning the division. I think they're the best team in the AFC. And they could have been last year, just got upset by the Ravens. So I definitely like the Broncos this game, I mean this division. I actually like the Chiefs to be second place. I really think they're going to be a much improved ball club. And I actually see the Chiefs getting the playoff wild card. I think Alex Smith is very efficient. I think defensively this team's got a lot of talent. And they have running back depth, their wide receiver depth, their offensive line is going to be better. I think Andy Reid is going to have this team in the playoffs as a wild card. Heard it here first. I like the Chargers as third place. I think Mike McCoy's got to get Phillip Rivers game back from a couple years ago. And they can use some help in the wide receiver position as well. And I still think the Oakland Raiders are still a long ways away, similar to the Jacksonville Jaguars we just mentioned in the AFC South. And so I think the Raiders still need some personnel on that roster before they can do anything to start competing. So, yeah, there's our preview to the AFC, and next week we'll make some time to preview the NFC, and hopefully you all enjoyed that. And make sure, once again, you got to join us next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 a.m. Hawaiian, and we'll have our NFC predictions as long as we will at least have two games of the NBA Finals out of the way. So we will recap that as well. And hopefully pretty soon we're going to start previewing the NBA draft coming up real soon as well. Any closing remarks, Andre?
That's it. Thank you, sir, for another great show of Talking Sports with 12 Men. We appreciate it, guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Thank you for listening in.